Doesn't that computer know who you
are? Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right, that's right, that's right.
Behold the glory that is
a little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact scenario.
I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my
onto
friend?
A Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd
what?
Be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah. This is Tech Talk. Good morning. This is Tech Talk, and this is Michael Tech Talk Kessler with the. I'm flying solo this morning, and so no Dave Sparky Saganaki. We're gonna miss him this week. I think he's up visiting Yoko up in Canada, as is his want, as the usual reason why he's not around. Unfortunately, too. Guess what? No Jay Garman with us either. No Jay Geek Trivia Garman. I know we've gotten some answers and responses to the Geek Trivia from last week, so you're just going to have to wait until next week to hear the answer to his fantastic Geek Trivia question from last week. Now, don't forget, you can go to facebook.com/Tech Talk, WRLR. You can find those Geek Trivia questions and all about that and everything that's going on with the Tech Talk show. And if you had been going on there and have been looking and see what was going on with the Tech Talk show, you would have known that today we were going to have McAfee on to talk to us about the 12 scams of Christmas. That's right. It's not too early. I'm doing it. We're doing a Christmas show. But you know what? It's not going to be all about Christmas. It's going to be about basically how to protect yourself and things to be aware of regarding mobile devices in particular, but just in general with online and internet scams as we come into these holiday seasons. And of course, Christmas always starts a little bit too early these days. You've got Black Friday coming up just after Thanksgiving, and then Cyber Monday as well, of course, is a big deal for us around here too, which is where everybody goes online as they get back to work to make those grabs and purchases while they should be probably paying attention to what's happening on a Monday morning, but they're not. They're doing things for their family, and I guess that's okay too. That's kind of a nice thing. So here we are, and it's a Saturday morning on the Tech Talk show, and you know, as I said, we're going to be talking about some mobile stuff today. Do you have an iPhone? You've got one of those new fancy gadget iPhone 4S's with Siri and all the other great stuff, and all of a sudden you found that instead of being able to go a whole day talking to people, that now today after the upgrade you can't even get more than 3 or 4 hours of juice out of that thing. I think we talked about this a little bit last week. If so, you're in luck. Guess what? Apple, sans Steve Jobs, but even so, Apple has come out with a fix for that. The newest upgrade to the iPhone software, the iPhone iOS, has supposedly officially fixed the iPhone battery issues. This is iOS 5.0.1, and this is an update. It should have been pushed out to you by now, and you know, this is supposedly going to bring a lot of just tiny little tweaks, but the main one is going to be fixing that battery issue. Now, it's still kind of in testing. No one is officially wants to really give the full thumbs up. You know, you look at CNN.com, you go check out Computer World, you look at Mashable, look at any of the online blogs, and they're all very positive, but sort of tentatively so. I'd be interested to hear if you're having different issues with yours. I'd like to hear about it. We'll talk about it on air. Now, again, you know, and I know I'm not an iPhone person, and people know that when they listen to me. I don't have any dislike for the Apple thing. I'm just not a big Apple guy myself. But I have to admit that some of these issues give me just that little, you know, joyous twinge of Schadenfreude every Saturday morning when my buddy calls me and complains that his iPhone is out of juice again, or that some other crazy thing, or that he's got to pay for navigation. And I think, you know, That don't happen with my Android. I am just fine. I do not see any reason to switch over. So you can take that with you anyways. And I don't have Dave here to pull me back on these either. So that's nice. I like that. Now, one thing, and I don't want to get into too much of a rant about this, but as I said, Dave is not here to stop me, so I'm going to warn you in advance. I may. There is a hearing that you should be aware of that is going to happen in the House on Wednesday. Why should you be aware of this? Because not only is there going to be a House hearing on this act, which is the Stop Online Piracy Act, but you should know this has also been identified as American Censorship Day. Why? Because the Stop Online Piracy Act, or SOPA, is just being bombarded with opponents and opponent opinions about this and how incredibly damaging it is going to be to the freedom of the ability to of creative individuals to share their creativity. And this bill, it's presenting itself, and the proponents of it, particularly, lawmakers, and I want to make sure that I get the names correct here so that you know who to hold responsible for this craziness. I've got the names of some of the opponents of it, but let me start this over again. I'm getting all worked up and I haven't even given you the reason why. Here's the deal. What SOPA wants to do, the Stop Online Piracy Act, is that they want to allow copyright holders to seek court injunctions blocking infringing sites. And they want to be able to do this if their initial, this is the copyright holders, if their initial efforts to get online advertising networks and payment processors to stop doing business with the sites fail. In addition to that, they want to add criminal charges to these situations where people are broadcasting or streaming web content without permission, which could result in up to a 5-year prison term. Now, I know that we've talked about this briefly on air before, particularly with the Free Bieber campaign. Free Bieber campaign was started by supporters of Justin Bieber. And Justin Bieber, in a very outspoken moment, stated that he felt that anyone that supported this bill, not SOPA specifically, but a similar bill called the I Protect IP, which was approved by the Senate Judiciary Committee. He said anybody that supports these bills should themselves be handcuffed and thrown in jail, because he himself would be actually criminally liable under some of the language in these bills, because he had broadcast himself doing covers and singing some R&B tunes before he got his big start. Now, you would think, and this was on YouTube, and you would think, this doesn't make any sense, right? I mean, anyone with a shred of common sense would say, look, you need to have the ability to, you know, sing along with music on the radio and have that broadcast on the YouTube, that's worth 5 years in prison? It doesn't make any sense, right? Well, apparently a lot of people do think it makes sense. Somehow, some way, they're convincing themselves that this makes just a tremendous amount of sense. Why? It's, of course, not people with shreds of common sense. It's these large organizations that are trying to stop piracy as being a way that they're losing money. I have to respect the concept and the idea of it, but the implementation of it is horrible. And a lot of people do agree with that. Opposers to this are the EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, who is involved in a lot of privacy issues, the Free Press, the Consumer Electronics Association, also known as the CEA, Center for Democracy and Technology, Public Knowledge, the list goes on and on and on, the opposers. One of my favorite websites, a guy that we've had on the air, David Ulovich, who is the founder and CEO of OpenDNS, which is a website that we've had as a cool site numerous times, that I personally use extensively, are also very, very opposed to this bill. And I think that should be enough to at least make people hopefully take a look at it. What the proponents of SOPA say is that they feel that SOPA is narrowly targeted legislation that does not ensnare legitimate websites. Opponents are saying that SOPA would give the government sweeping new powers to order internet service providers to implement filtering technologies on their networks and would create new forms of private legal actions against websites. And, you know, especially and this is the thing, is that it can happen and go around now standard legal practices. It would allow these copyright holders to cut websites off from payment and advertising providers by default with no court review, simply upon a complaint from a copyright owner, even if that copyright owner's work is not being infringed. Think about that for a couple seconds. Let's say, let's put it into real world terms. I decide that, you know what? I don't like something that you're doing. I can't prove that what you're doing is illegal. I don't need to, because you know what? I can just call up Visa and say, hey, Dave Sparky Saganaki is infringing my rights. Revoke all of his credit cards, or call his boss and say, you know what? Don't pay him anymore, because I got to figure out if he's actually infringing on me. Think about that, and think about the damage this could do. It's just, the law is draconian. It's obtuse. It's a major, major issue, I believe. Take a look into it and see what's going on. And let's support all these guys on Wednesday, which, as I said, is going to be also known as American Censorship Day. So hopefully we can get past that. On nicer, friendlier news, I'm going to click off of my rant here. I think I did okay, right? It was only a couple minutes. Not too bad. Hopefully I didn't lose anybody. In more interesting news, I find this fascinating. This is something that I've talked about with a number of people, ways in which iPads and tablets in general can be used, and what is going to mean the major break point for tablets. And I have maintained for a while that when tablets are really going to take off is not so much when they're being used today as consumer products. I think obviously they're making a big impact, but I don't think they're gonna really take the impact that they can and replace the laptop as we know it today until a vertical market finds that magic app, which is going to make them efficient, make them profitable, make them something above and beyond just a slightly easier way and more portable way to check your email. And it sounds like that is happening. It's finally happening. Other people agree with this. Walmart is trying new technology. And what is this new technology on their consumers? They're giving consumers the ability to skip the checkout line, buy products right in the aisle. And how are they doing it? Of course, they're using tablet technology. And this is also too allowing customers, the way that customers can do this is with this near field communication, using your cell phone to make payments, using PayPal and American Express. It's a great example of a real world way that, you know what, instead of while you're walking around and picking out your items and so on, and then you got to put them in a cart and you got to drag the thing up to the front, you got to stand in line. Everybody's done this, and especially when you get up close to we were talking about earlier, Cyber Monday and Black Friday, all this great stuff. It's just a nightmare. Why is Cyber Monday such a huge thing? Because nobody wants to go out and fight those crowds. Here's a way that one company, at least, is trying to see if they can work around it. So I think that's pretty cool. Another good news too, and I know I'm jumping all over the place without Dave here to keep me in line. I'm just a stream of consciousness all over here. I got to tell you about this. This is going now. Of course, today is November 12th. Yesterday was November 11th. That's 11/11 and 2011. So it was 11/11/11. And if you may not know the history, but of course that was Veterans Day, and Veterans Day was celebrated because at 11 a.m. French time, the war to end all wars, World War II was officially, or I'm sorry, World War I was officially called as an end. Now, of course, it kind of continued on for a little while afterwards, but officially, at least, it was considered over November 11th, and that was in 1918. So now it's November 11, 2011, 11 a.m. What were you doing? I was taking a vet out for breakfast yesterday, so I hope that you were at least giving some thought to it. If you weren't thinking about the vets and all that, but maybe you do a little bit of computer program. Do you know that that kicked off Hack Day, Veterans Hack Day? What Veterans Hack Day is, and you can go to the website, which is veterans2011.linkedin.com, and if you submit a project by November 14th, this will be judged and considered for a great idea. What kind of ideas are they looking for? Of course, they're looking for applications and ideas and thoughts in computers that can make a veteran's life better. That is this quote from the website. Anything that can make a veteran's life better is fair game. Think of ways you can help veterans find jobs, homes, education, deal with medical problems, build support networks, or even just a way for us to say thank you. They've already got an ideas section. They've got a data section, so you can get some inspiration from there. This is supported by a lot of really cool people that want to see this happen. They want to see veterans have a way with the resources that we have available to us with computers and networking and the internet to make their life better. And isn't that really what it's all about? But, you know, even if that's not what it's all about for you, there's some pretty cool prizes too. Third prize gets $100. Amazon gift card. There's also an iPad 2, and first prize, grand prize, is a MacBook Air. This isn't something that you have to program. It's something to give an idea for how to program, but they are calling it Veterans Hack Day. So take a look at that. I'll give you that website one more time. It is veterans2011.linkedin.com, and that's veterans2011.linkedin.com. You know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to take us for a real quick break. We're going to have some of our sponsors and our spots and all that good stuff. I want to mention to you that, of course, this is a community radio station. If you couldn't tell that, but just by listening to me, this is not a professional radio station that gets all sorts of money from the areas around us and from advertisements and so on. No, we get our support and money from you, the listener, and from our valued and valuable sponsors who are supporting the good work that we're doing here. Please go check out our website, wrlr.fm. You too can be a sponsor, and you too can support the WRLR radio station and mission, and I challenge you and ask you to do it. We will be back in literally 2 minutes after these spots, and I look forward to talking to you soon. What we're going to do, of course, at that point, is we're going to bring Richard Siciliano from McAfee on. So do not turn the dial. Stay right with us. This is Tech Talk on WRLR.
You're listening to 98.3 FM, WRLR LP, Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
A lot of kids need a place to live. A lot of kids don't have a good home. It's hard to imagine how difficult life is for these kids.
Each person has a different reason for becoming a foster parent through Camelot Care Centers.
It's been the most rewarding thing personally that I have ever experienced.
Camelot Care Centers, a foster agency for kids.
If we can just give them a good, safe home to live.
Camelot Care Centers, a foster agency for kids.
For further information on becoming a foster parent, family development specialist Ginny Zarinaboff can be reached at 1-630-773-1985.
Maybe you can't change the whole world, but you can change the world of a child.
Attention, proud misfits and outsiders. Has commercial radio taken the passion out of your relationship? Do you find yourself waking in the middle of the night in a Hootie and the Blowfish instigated panic attack? Are you having increasingly common, frightening Lady Gaga-induced flashbacks?
Don't worry, it's not too late. Subterranean is here for you.
The perfect antidote to common radio.
Join Mick
and Carl for 3 hours of the best in underground rock every Thursday from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. The greatest music you won't hear anywhere else is on Subterranean, right here on WRLR.
The Round Lake Area Park District is a proud sponsor of WRLR. The mission of the Round Lake Area Park District is to promote healthy lifestyles through recreation programs, facilities, and open space. The Round Lake Area Park District is located in the Robert W. Rolick Community Center at 814 Hart Road in Round Lake and is open Monday through Saturday. The phone number is 847-546-8558. The website is www.rlapd.org.
Let's try and bring in Richard Siciliano here from McAfee Software. He's got a lot of really great tips to give us regarding how to stay safe this holiday season. Good morning, Richard.
Robert,
I apologize. And we spoke earlier, too, and I got it right when we talked on the phone earlier. Thank you for joining us on Tech Talk. Robert Siciliano from McAfee Software. We are very, very happy to have you on and to talk to us today about, of course, coming from McAfee, to talk to us about some great security tips, some great ways that we can try and maintain safety and security online, and particularly, I think, with mobile devices this year, right?
Mobile devices, the list is endless. Phishing emails, the scams are wide and deep, and unfortunately the bad guys are getting better and better at pulling the wool over consumers' eyes.
Yeah. That's something that I keep hearing about, that particularly with the mobile scams, that for some reason people are less able to detect that they're having the wool pulled over their eyes with the mobile devices. Is this something that McAfee is seeing as well?
Part of the issue is the Android operating system. iPhones are generally more secure, and that's because it's a closed system, which means that the operating system, iPhone's OS, OSX, is not open like Android is, meaning mm-hmm. that the developers really don't have full access to the inner workings of the iPhone, whereas with the Android, it's open, kind of like Microsoft's operating system.
Yep.
And so that allows criminals to kind of look at the inner workings of the Android, which is, Google's operating system for their mobile phones, and they're able to create viruses that infect the phone. So you click on a link in the body of an email or a text message, or you get a text message that looks like it's coming from your bank or somewhere else. You click that link, and that very well could be an infected link that infects your phone. McAfee saw a 76% increase in malware targeted at Android devices in the second quarter of 2011, making it the most targeted smartphone platform.
Now, are these happening, it sounds like we've heard about a lot of the drive-by website hacking and things like that. Is that starting to happen with Androids too, or is it mainly through applications that you install that are Trojan horse type applications?
Really good question. So the drive-by download that you're referring to on a regular web browser like on a PC is, you just go to a website and all of a sudden, just because you went to that website, you didn't even necessarily have to click anything. Your operating system, your desktop, gets infected because your browser may be out of date.
Mm-hmm.
And we're beginning to see, very similar issues with the Android. There are right now approximately 1,500 different viruses that target mobile phones. That's what's going on out in the wild. And 1,500 is a relatively small number compared to the multi millions for desktops and PCs.
Mm-hmm.
However, with the exponential increase in malware targeting smartphones, it's something that consumers certainly need to be aware of and need to perform their due diligence to prevent it. And ultimately, that involves installing a mobile security product like an antivirus to prevent that from happening. Because at this point, criminals know that certainly while PCs are the low-hanging fruit, that mobiles are attached to people all day, every day. I mean, I know that mine's with me right now as we speak, and it's next to my bedstand, and it's in the car, and it's, we're at the gym. I mean, no matter where I am, my mobile's with me.
Yep.
And people are beginning to shop online with their mobile. They're storing personal information, and that makes for an enticing target. And over time, we're going to see more and more malware targeting the mobile phone.
Yep. Yeah. And that brings up, since we have it with us everywhere, we're becoming more attached to it and we're using it more and more. I'm starting to see more and more of those crazy, Rorschach test, links, the QR codes that, particularly for, major companies and people's websites and, I mean, all the way up and down the line. And I've heard recently that those are being used as vectors to infection as well.
Yeah, very good point. So QR codes are the small barcodes, square barcodes that you might see in a print ad. You might even see them on a Facebook page. Generally, the point of a QR code is to bridge the gap between print media and the Internet. And the QR codes are generally read with a scanner that you download as an application on your iPhone or any other mobile platform. And when you read that QR code with your mobile, sometimes those QR codes are directed towards infected links.
Mm-hmm.
And those infected links, again, are, that form of drive-by that you spoke of earlier. And you may walk into a retailer, a brick-and-mortar retailer, and there might be a QR code on display next to a particular product or service, and somebody could have actually just put a sticker there with an infected link, and then you start shooting that, and next thing you know, you're infecting your mobile. And there might be a scammy Facebook page set up where they're trying to get you to access that page via a mobile to download a coupon, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And that mobile coupon that you're shooting with your scanning with your mobile may in fact be an infected QR code. So that's not a huge issue at this point, but it's definitely something to be aware of. And, getting back to the malicious mobile applications, which you had referenced earlier, these are mobile apps designed to steal information from smartphones or send out expensive text messages without a user's consent.
Mm.
So anytime you download an application from, say, the App Store or any other application store, you want to make sure that you're going to the actual, legitimate site for the Android or for the iTunes, Android Marketplace or iTunes. If you go outside of the actual app stores, then that's when you may be getting yourself into a little more trouble, because there are, anybody can create an application for the Android Marketplace, and that's a little scary because there's not a whole lot of quality control going on there. So you don't know necessarily what you're getting yourself into. At least if you're downloading from Android's Marketplace, you have a better idea and you're less likely to get some type of a app with a virus on it.
Yep.
Beyond that, with the iPhone, you may have heard of the term jailbreaking your iPhone.
Yep, yep, absolutely.
Well, jailbreaking, of course, is, I know your audience is a little more sophisticated than the rest of the world, but when you jailbreak the phone, you are opening up your OS to, see everything that's going on in there, and you also allow other applications that haven't been vetted by Apple's iTunes onto that phone, and often that's where the infections may take place.
Yeah. Now, one thing you mentioned too, going to the Android App Store and so on, it gives you at least a little bit of extra protection. I've noticed something happening when I'll hear about a really cool app, and I'll say, "Oh man, I got to check that out." I'll put it into my, and I'll go to Google Android, the Android store. I'll put in the name of the app, and I'll see 5 or 6 sound-alike type apps that are coming up. And, Google Plus, actually, in fact, is an example. If you type in Google Plus, you're going to come up with a Plus Google, a Google Space Plus, things like that. And only one or two of those are actually made by Google. The rest are by other companies. I'm assuming that those are possible, at the very least, kind of trying to trap people into grab these and possibly even malware type of applications.
Yeah, and like anything else in life, you know, you do your research. You make an educated decision before you go ahead and make that purchase, do that download, and so on. And if you, you know, rely on crowdsourcing, seeing what the crowd has to say about previously downloading that application, what their comments may be, if it did anything negative to their phone, doing some quick Google searches on that particular application, who the manufacturer or developer may be, the particular version of it. Mm-hmm. You know, just do your due diligence, do your homework. Just don't blindly go ahead and download something that you're not entirely sure if that's in fact the one that you saw that had been vetted by CNET or whoever in that article that you might have read. And once you, you know, are relatively confident that you have the right application, that's the right version by the right developer and so forth, that it's that you're confident that it's not going to be, you know, infected, or have a, you know, relatively educated, you know, understanding of that, then go right ahead. But, you know, today, if we just go ahead and wildly just, you know, access the internet and start clicking links and downloading stuff and just blindly heading off into the abyss, then that's how people get infected.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, I want to bring us back just one step too. You mentioned Facebook in particular, and I know one thing that drives me crazy, and some of my older relatives will click through these, and I warn them, and I try to let them know these aren't real. But on Facebook, all the time, popping up with a, you know, like this page and you'll get a free iPad too. You know, things like this, these promotions, these contests, these, you know, lotteries or whatever they may be. How many of those are legit? Are there any out there that are any good?
Well, there definitely are Facebook, you know, based promotions, you know, promotions that are using Facebook's platform as a web page, let's say, promotions and contests and so forth. Certainly there are plenty and plenty of them out there that are legitimate. But for as many that are legitimate, then, you know, there could be many more that aren't. And so you have, you know, legitimate, say, brick-and-mortar retailers that you may do business with on a daily basis. It could be, you know, Kmart or Target or Kohl's or whoever, you know, IKEA. And you may see some, you know, too-good-to-be-true promotion that if you click this link, if you click on using this QR code, if you enter your personal information, if you provide your email, then you're going to get a $50 gift card and or be entered into a contest, this, that, the other thing. And certainly, again, you know, there are some legitimate ones, but we're seeing many more popping up that are simply designed to scam you, to skim your information. And it's often hard to tell, if not impossible, to tell, in fact, which one is real and which one is fake. So really, the only ones that I'll ever click on or enter my personal information on are the ones that you might get in, like, in a legitimate ad that you might see in print, or a legitimate ad that you might see online via the actual store's website. Once if you start clicking on links, you know, because your friend had sent you off some link to a promotion to get a free iPad from some major brick and mortar retailer, and you see that link in the body of their Facebook profile page as a status update, they very well could have been infected, meaning that they ended up clicking on that thing, and like a virus, it multiplied, and their friends get it, and their friends get it, and that's where you have to really be careful. So I would go right to the main retailer's website if, in fact, you want to. If you're one of those people that likes to do stuff like that, don't start clicking links on your friend's profile page to get where you think that it is going to be going.
Yep.
That's a brilliant scheme that, in the end, It's unlikely that it'll actually affect your identity in a way where your identity will be stolen, but if they start asking for personal identifying information like credit card information, social security numbers, all that fun stuff, then that's when you start to get into a lot of trouble. The majority of these ruses are, for, you know, kind of scummy sales marketing techniques for clickjacking and all that stuff to get, you know, marketers and advertisers and others to, you know, make money just by clicking Google AdWords.
Yep, Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because I know that, you know, just recently, and it wasn't in America. I don't have the information in front of me, but they just arrested a whole bunch of people that were doing malware type attacks specifically to do the clickjacking on people. And it was something like $40 million that they were able to obtain through this simple process. And what clickjacking is basically you know, you make money when someone clicks through a Google Ads link, for example. And they were setting it up that all of these computers were constantly clicking through these ads and then generating them revenue.
Yeah, that it actually was, you know, the numbers have been all over the place, but I saw something about 14 million and a half a dozen or so cyber criminals from Estonia arrested for cyber fraud.
Yep.
That even, you know, NASA discovered the malicious software in the form of a botnet on 130 of its own computers. They think that maybe 4 million PCs have been infected. And this is a form of a botnet. I mean, this is a botnet. Mm-hmm. They called it Operation Ghost Click by the FBI. There were two data centers, one in New York and one in Chicago, were raided, and command control infrastructure of 100 servers was taken offline. And this is just, you know, hackers, you know, technologists that obviously the black hat version that understand how this technology works, and they deploy a virus of sorts that ends up on, you know, so many millions of PCs, and they use that to go out and to send out spam and to do their dirty deed by going to certain websites and clicking on certain links, and Google ends up kicking back some cash to them, and the people who end up paying are people like you and I that might have a website up that has, you know, on the right or left bar you have AdWords, and we may be the, you know, the people that are, you know, paying for those ads.
Yep.
To click, to go to my website, to go to your website, and so forth. So all that money, you know, penny by penny, comes out of you know, hardworking people's accounts that are just trying to, you know, put ads out there to support their small businesses. And these guys figured out a way to make that work for them, you know, in a big way. And that's, you know, kind of messes with Google's business model and Yahoo and Bing and so forth. But that's the reality of it. And it's, you know, certain, it's a good thing that we have, you know, the feds and the Secret Service are paying attention to that stuff and obviously working in tandem with, you know, major sites like Google and Yahoo and Bing and so forth. But,
yeah,
you know, in the end, you know, there's not a whole lot that the consumer can do other than what they should be doing so they don't support this type of scheme, is to make sure that their own PCs don't get infected. And that's where, you know, products like McAfee All Access comes in, McAfee Antivirus, Anti-Phishing, Anti-Spyware, so that your PC is, like, totally protected to prevent, you know, your PC from becoming a part of that botnet.
Yep. Now, and you meant, now, of course, we're talking a lot about PCs, and you mentioned earlier, you know, Apple's iPhone is a little bit more protected, but I keep hearing, you know, that contrary, I think, to common belief, that your Macintosh computer, your Apple computer, is not an inviolable, you know, piece of equipment, that there are more and more malware and viruses and spyware and botnet type of applications that are specifically designed for the Macintosh environment. Is that true? Are you guys seeing that?
Yeah, exactly. Until recently, Mac users felt pretty insulated from online security threats. Since most were targeted at PCs, of course, PCs, you know, controlling more than 90% of the market, and Macs less than 10%, and Macs are, you know, more for publishing, whereas PCs are more for business. And so, over time, according to McAfee Labs, as of late 2010, so like the third quarter of last year, there were 5,000 pieces of malware targeting Macs. 5,000. And this number right now is increasing by 10% month on month. So still a small number compared to the multi-millions of malware targeting PCs. But, you know, what we're beginning to see more and more are like scareware that's showing up on Macs, and that scareware, of course, is when you get a pop-up that looks like your desktop. It looks like your My Computer screen or some other part of your operating system. And once that pop-up shows up, it alerts you to the fact that you are infected. But you're not really infected. You're just infected.
Not yet.
Right. You're infected with the scareware that begins to take over your PC or your Mac or both. And when that occurs, it makes it difficult to do anything other than click on the certain pop-ups that show up in the scareware in order to shut it up. They want $49.95.
Yep.
And in this case, once you provide them your credit card information, you're obviously giving that to extortionists or criminals. And now they've got your credit card information, and they can go ahead and make fraudulent charges. But beyond that, you know, whatever you download to fix the scareware, it's probably just spyware itself. It's a form of a virus.
Yep.
And now you're not only giving them your credit card information, but you're allowing them to potentially remotely take over your computer as well.
Yeah.
And that's scary. And the people who are bit by these scams are generally people who just don't really have a clue of what's going on. People, maybe a little bit older or a little less savvy or even a little younger and just not all that clued in, or it could be anyone, and they're just not tech savvy.
Yep.
They don't have a really good sense of scamming, and it's one of those things where you can protect yourself to some degree with antivirus, anti-spyware, anti-phishing, and so forth. But you also have to have some common sense too.
Yeah, I'm almost embarrassed to admit, but in my house, this actually hit us and fairly recently. I've talked about it on air, so I won't go into great detail again. But we had a situation where my kids have a computer that they have out in kind of an open area, and they play games and so on. But at some point, when I was out for the day, one of these scareware things came up, and Mom was there and looked at it, and things look so much like you said, like just built into the OS or like part of what you would normally expect to see for your antivirus that you've got installed legitimately, that she looked at it and said, yeah, that's fine, click on that because we do want to clean whatever that is off. And sure enough, that installed Cloud AV 2010 or 2011 on our machine, which Cloud AV, if you see this, it is a nasty, nasty piece of malware. It took me quite some time and quite a bit of research to remove it. And obviously, I consider myself fairly adept at these types of things. And it's awful. If you don't recognize the antivirus claim that's there and it doesn't look like it's one that you've installed before, you want to not go anywhere near that kind of thing.
Yeah, it kind of makes you want to punch the guy that created it, right?
Oh, you know what? Like I said, it was on the kid's computer. It was a good thing the kids were not around when I was trying to fix this.
Yeah.
There was a lot of language that was being thrown out that was not appropriate for small children.
and that costs consumers, millions every year to clean up their PCs and get them back to normal. And the scammers, they're generally based overseas, not always, but generally based overseas, and they're making millions, they're driving Lamborghinis and Ferraris and Mercedes, and they're just having a party for themselves, and they're doing it simply off of scamming, good-hearted people that are paying the taxes and doing the right thing, and, just end up clicking the wrong link, and all of a sudden their PC's taken over.
Yep, exactly. I mean, it's just awful stuff. And of course, now, too, we're talking a lot about these, these high-tech guys and all over, but there's these really low-tech ways that we get taken advantage of, too. You mentioned the one where, if you're starting to enter your credit card information, you should be thinking automatically that something's up. But I know we're also seeing a lot of things like with UPS bills, hotel wrong transaction type emails. I mean, these scammers and spammers, they're getting a lot smarter about duping us and making things look really legitimate. What types of things are you seeing start to take prevalence right now?
The root of the issue here is, they're con men that are using a variety of ruses to separate you from your money. And often you may receive that in the form of a phishing email. And people are a little more savvy today about not clicking or downloading, potential executable disguises, a zip file, which infects their PC. So one thing that they try to get you to do is, you know, pull the wool over your eyes by, like, you know, chances are you've traveled somewhere recently and you've been to a hotel. And if you've been to a hotel, then you would maybe expect to get some type of receipt from the hotel that, you know, thanks for your stay. Here's your receipt. Let us know if you have any comments. And so a ruse that's going on right now is what's called the hotel wrong transaction malware email. And the wrong transaction malware email basically is an email designed as a travel-related scam in the hopes of getting users to click on links in a dangerous email. In a recent example, a scammer sent out an email that appeared to be from a hotel claiming that a wrong transaction had been discovered on the recipient's credit card. And it asked them to fill out the an attached refund form. And once opened, the attachment downloads malware onto the machine. So that attachment not only is malicious, you're also probably going to respond to that, plugging in your contact information along with your name, address, phone number, credit card information, CVV code, and even PIN code if it's a debit card. And, you know, you're giving away everything because you get an email simply saying that, you know, there's a wrong transaction in your credit card, and, you know, you go ahead and just plug in all your data. Yeah. Now, when you think about it, you know, millions and millions and millions of people are staying in hotels every single night of the week. And so, that being said, if criminals are sending out millions of emails on a daily basis about people staying in hotels, and they've got to download this particular, you know, file that looks like a Word doc, you download it, you may click a link in it, and next thing you know, you have malware. They're gonna have a success rate. You know, they could have anywhere from, if they had a 1% success rate, they're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, like any sales strategy, you know, the amount of, you know, calls you make or emails you send or, newsletters you send out, you know, you're gonna reap what you sow. And these guys are doing this via botnets, which again are infected PCs like yours and mine potentially that have a virus on them that allows a criminal hacker from anywhere in the world to use your PC to send out millions of spam on a daily basis.
Yep, yep. And that's why I love doing shows like this because, you know, the only thing that's going to make these guys stop ultimately is if it's more costly for them to set up these types of operations than the return that they get. And the more people that can get educated about it and understand that this this is something to be aware of, the more or the less successful that they'll be. So, you know, to anybody listening right now, oh, take this as a word. You know, don't be one of those guys. Don't be the one that that adds to that 1% because that is all that they need. Like you said, you know, if you send out to 2 million, like you said, you all you need is 1%, and that's it, right. A couple of bucks.
Yeah, and, you know, education is fundamental. You know, some will argue that you just can't educate the consumer anymore, that they know what they know, and that's the end of it, and I don't agree with that. I think education is paramount, and the more aware, the more alert, the more you understand the different ruses, the more empowered you're going to be, and the less likely you're going to be to do something stupid that's going to infect you, your family, your small business. In addition to that, of course, technology, you know, you got to fight bad technology with good technology, and, you know, antivirus, anti-spyware, anti-phishing, you know, not clicking links in the body of an email. And again, as you know, I work with McAfee, and they've got their new McAfee's All Access product, which basically protects all your devices. It protects your Mac, your PC. It protects your Android mobile. It goes on the Mac OS. And, you know, this is designed so that it makes it an easier install to protect devices across all platforms.
Now does it actually install applications on the Android operating system, or is this something that works like through a you know, like a OpenDNS sort of thing where it's taking you know, managing your actual internet access?
There is a mobile security product available from McAfee that is designed specifically for Android's operating systems, McAfee Mobile Security. And that addresses all the issues that we're seeing today with the, you know, incredible amount of viruses that are being directed towards Android, which is one of the fastest growing operating systems for mobiles. And as it, you know, continually is more and more vulnerable, and as more and more people are adopting it, there is a painful need to have a mobile security product on your Android today.
Yep. Yep. And where can people find out more about McAfee and about All Access and about ways to protect themselves, you know, online and mobile and every way that we've got so many ways to get on online now. What would you give as the best link for them to find out more information?
So online, you can go to McAfee.com/all access, right? Mm-hmm. So that's easy enough to do. McAfee.com/all access. And you can also access that via my website if you just go to IDTheftSecurity.com. Again, it's IDTheftSecurity.com. You can't miss it.
Very, very cool. Robert, we've got to pull to a halt here. I apologize. This has been a fantastic amount of information, though, and always great to get expert input and advice from McAfee and yourself. Robert Siciliano, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Yep, you too. Thanks again. Robert Siciliano from McAfee. What a fantastic amount of information. I hope that we didn't overdose on all that great advice. Tons of great stuff. He gave some excellent website links there for you to go find out more or to catch if you missed a few things here and there. I will also post those, of course, at techtalk.wrlr.fm, or you can go to facebook.com/techtalkwrlr. That information will be up there. We're getting the podcast out nowadays, usually about 5 days, so you don't have to wait quite as long. Now, of course, oh yes, it's about that time. I haven't forgotten. We are going to do some cool sites of the week. Now, not only am I going to include the McAfee websites as part of the cool sites of the week, and give you links to the ones that Robert just mentioned to us, but I've got a couple of other ones. I've got one here. Now, I think this is very, very cool. I love stuff that helps organize and coordinate people and collaboration type stuff and things like this. And this is a neat one. Now, this is kind of a niche. It's sort of a niche need, but boy, for the people that do need this, I think this is very, very useful. If you are in a house or you're in a family that for one reason or another has split, you know, the sad situation is we do have a 50% divorce rate right now. We've got a lot of families that are separated or divorced, and boy, what happens when there's kids involved? It's tough, right? And one of the tougher things about that is making sure that people get fair time with the children, that mom and dad, although they may not be together, that they coordinate the relationships with the children in particular. And there is a website that will help you do this. TwoHouses.com, and that's the number 2Houses.com, this is right off of their website. It says, we help separated parents to communicate and get organized about their children. And that's exactly what it's about, is making that happen. I think it's a great idea. It's cool. You know, sometimes, and I don't have personal experience with this. I'm fortunate enough that I am in a long-term relationship with my wife that has no signs of, unless she's hiding something from me, I don't think it's going anywhere. I think she's stuck with me one way or the other. And, but I've got friends that have this situation. And one of the tougher things, again, is, you know, is making that communication occur, making sure that there's no confusion, that whatever painful feelings there are between the couple are not communicated on to the children. And this is one way to help that happen. It's just a cool site. You know, this is what it's about. That is a cool site. Here's another cool site for you. Now, you may know I am taking some classes. I'm in school yet again myself, and this has been useful for me in that environment, but it is also just a fabulous research tool for anything you might be doing. PDF Genie, that's G-E-N-I, PDFGenie.com. And what this lets you do, you can type in any topic, any concept, any thought, and it will bring up a PDF book that is available online for you. about whatever that subject may be. You type in Brazilian language. It will bring up a number of books about Brazilian language and business. You type in collaboration. You're going to find a number of books and PDF documents about collaboration. Now, not all of them are free, although it claims that it's pulling up free ones. I have found that some of the links will take you actually to books that are for sale on Amazon. However, I would say a good 90% of it, though, is exactly as advertised, and it's just great stuff. And man, we spent so much great time with Robert this morning that we are right at the end of the day. You know what? I'm going to play for us the podcast only song of the week this week. I checked it out. It's a fun song. This is so much of a fun song. I wish Dave was here to listen to this. I'll have to play it for him some other time. He'd love this one. This is called Sexy and I Know It. It's by a group called LMFAO. Don't ask me to translate that. This is a podcast only song. Dave would give me such a hard time for this song. I know it. You're going to like it, I hope, and I hope that you enjoyed the show today. Don't forget to check us out, techtalk.wrlr.fm or facebook.com/techtalkwrlr. Don't be afraid to go on and like us there. And oh my gosh, you know what? I totally forgot. There was one other thing I have got to tell you about before we close up the show. Here's the deal. We talked a lot about Apple today. We talked about a little bit about Steve Jobs. We've been talking about him a lot recently. There is a previously unreleased, unheard, unseen, unknown interview with Steve Jobs and Robert Cringely. Cringely is a very, very well-known journalist. He spoke with Steve Jobs some time ago, and for whatever reason, the interview was just not released. That is now going to be shown at Landmark Century Center Cinema downtown, 2828 North Clark Street, down in Chicago. And I actually got a review and preview copy of the interview. It is fantastic. If you want a true idea of who the man Steve Jobs is, you will want to see this. It is very, very cool. Now, they're going to be showing this. This is why I had to say it this week, because it is only going to be on this week as far as I know. It's going to be on Wednesday, November 16th, Thursday, November 17th, like I said, at Landmark Century Center Cinema, 7:15 and 9 p.m. I think it's worth at least thinking about taking a look at it. It's from 1995, and it's just a neat little insight into Steve, if you're one of those Apple heads. Again, sorry for taking us a minute over here, because I just remembered that we will have time for Sexy and I Know It by LMFAO. And hey, come on back next week. We got some other great stuff all lined up for you. Have a good one. Take care. You've been listening to WRLR on 98.3 FM.
When I walk on by, girls be looking like Debbie Fly. I pimp to the beat, walking down the street and my news are free. Yeah, this is how I roll, animal print pants out control. It's Red Bull with the big ass bra, and like Bruce Lee, I got the clout, yeah.
Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body.
I work out.
Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body.
I work out. When I walk in the spot, this is what I see.
I'm sexy and I know it. I'm sexy and I know it.
Yeah, when I'm at the mall, security just can't buy them all. And when I'm at the beach, I'm in a speedo trying to tan my cheeks. This is how I roll. Come on, ladies, it's time to go. We headed to the bar, baby, don't be nervous. No shoes, no shirt, and I still get service. Watch.
Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body.
I work out.
I work out when I walk in the spot. This is what I see. Everybody stops and is staring at me. I got passion in my pants and I ain't afraid to show it, show it, show it, show it.
I'm sexy and I know it.
Hey.
I'm sexy and I know it.
Check it out. Check it out. Wiggle, 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 yeah. Wiggle, 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 yeah. Wiggle, 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 yeah. Wiggle, 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 yeah, yeah. Do the wiggle, man. A little wiggle, man. Yeah. I'm sexy and I know it.
I'm sexy and I know it.